Hey everybody, I hope you and your loved ones are safe, happy and healthy. Before you listen to or watch the show, remember to subscribe and follow us on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn to stay up to date with all the latest news and updates from my legal club. If you, your family or your business need any legal support or no obligation solicitor quotes, please get in touch with us at mylegalclub.co.uk. Before you listen to the show, please note the content is for information purposes only and is not to be relied upon. Stay well, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Rogers, and I am delighted to be joined on today's show by Andrew Bloom. Andrew is a partner at Moore Kingston Smith LLP and is head of legal services. He is a corporate solicitor who works with clients ranging from startups and owner-managed businesses to larger SMEs and international public companies. Today's show is going to focus on employee ownership trusts. We may refer to as EOTs for short, what they are, the pros and the cons, and how they help business owners who want to exit by selling shares to employee ownership trusts. Andrew, how does an employee ownership trust work as a general overview?
Sure. Well, broadly speaking, it's when you sell a majority of the shares in your business to a trust that's then for the benefit of the employees. The owners get to sell the shares at the current market value, and the capital gain that they make on the sale is at 0%. These transactions are usually self-funded, with the consideration for the sale being settled out of any existing surplus cash and any future profits. So it's a bit like an MBO, a management buyout in that respect. Particularly attractive to businesses with lots of surplus cash in them, and the upfront payment can obviously be quite a meaningful one. They're also a great way to incentivize employees, because they are now the co-owners of the business, and they stand to benefit from future value creation in the trust. And they can be a very attractive alternative to selling to a third party.
And just following on from that, is it something any business can consider, or is there a particular set of criteria that would apply and or a particular set of business owners that this may be suited to? I'm thinking of people who might be listening or watching this that are thinking, well, is this something I would be wasting my time on? Is this something that wouldn't be suitable to me and my business?
No, there are some restrictions, but we can easily at the early stage help clients identify whether or not that those restrictions would be a problem for them. Some of the main restrictions to make the sale to the EOT free from capital gains tax are that the shares must be held in a standalone trading company or the holding company of a trading group. And there's also what's called the limited participation requirement, which is quite a complicated formula about the number of employees who are or aren't shareholders. But that's something that we and our tax people can quickly get to the bottom of.
And if you're a business owner looking at this, are you able to retain any share capital at all? And if so, up to what level?
Absolutely. And I'd say that based on some of the EOTs that we've worked on the last few years, I'd say probably around half of the owners do retain some shareholding. And that amount is effectively up to 49%. The trust's got to have a simple majority, so you know, effectively 51%, and the remainder can be held by the selling shareholders, and they'll retain, you know, different proportions, but some decide to sell completely.
And once an EOT is in place, how is, well, firstly, control of the company affected, and secondly, how are potential future dividends distributed, e.g. would employees receive dividends?
Those are both really good questions. I think, and the first one is really important about control. When you sell to a trust, you can't just carry on with the same decision-making processes that you had before. One of the main obligations of company directors is to consider the interests of the shareholders. When an EOT sales happens, those majority shareholders are effectively the beneficiaries of the trust. And so after the sale, you do have to make decisions differently, often with increased corporate governance compared to when it's the founders who own and run the business themselves. Importantly, in the HMRC rules for EOTs, there's also a requirement that there is a genuine change of control, and there's certain things that we put into the documents to make sure that happens. In terms of the second question about dividends, initially, for the first few years after the EOT's sale has happened, any excess profits are largely going to go to pay off the founders who sold their shares. Once that's happened and the shares have been sold off and there's excess profits in the company, those probably would not be distributed by dividends via the trust, because that could be tax inefficient. But when there's that excess cash sitting in the company, the trust could certainly direct the company to pay it as bonuses to staff, because there wouldn't be the traditional shareholders sitting there to take the profits as dividends. But certainly, that's one of the key ways in which staff benefit.
And what are the advantages to the business owners when contemplating an EOT? What would be the main pros if you know, you're having a chat with someone at a conference or even at the weekend and someone grabs your hand and says, well, what would the advantages to me be if I'm considered as a business owner, if I'm considering an EOT?
Well, I think for the business owners, one of the most attractive ones is obviously the ability to sell free of capital gains tax, as long as those conditions are met. A lot of the business owners that we work with are really, really delighted by the opportunity to sell the business effectively to the staff, rather than selling to a trade buyer or one of their competitors. A lot of the owners get really, really enthused. They feel that that their staff and their people have helped them build the business up from scratch. And if the business owners and the founders are looking to take a back seat, to be able to pass on the baton to their staff, so a lot of them find is that they get a real sense of pride in that.
And that, I think it's probably quite obvious, and you can make assumptions on this, but could you just absolutely nail for us what are the most typical benefits to the employees?
Well, one of the employees, which can be from day one, even before the price is paid off to the founders, is that employees of employee-owned trust companies are allowed to receive a tax-free bonus of up to £3,600 each year. And so that's free of income tax. And there's various criteria that can be used if the full amount isn't available to pay for everyone. But the rules are quite strict in terms of how you proportion that. But certainly that £3,600 in the early years is very attractive. Once the initial sale price to the founders has been paid off, then larger bonuses could be paid if there's excess cash in the business. Those wouldn't be tax-free. And eventually, in the future, if then a further sale happens to maybe a trade buyer or a competitor, there'd be an additional windfall, hopefully, for the employees of that stake.
And following on from that, what are the disadvantages for business owners? I'm sort of thinking here that if I was listening to this, I'd maybe thinking, well, would I get more money if I sell to a rival, or is it kind of a market value kind of rate that I'm looking at with an EOT? You know, things like the loss of control element to this, I think, would be a major thing for a lot of people. Also, you know, how do you go about financing that? Is it tricky trying to find finance from a bank, as an example, to get to that purchase price? And then as a result, like, the sellers maybe have to get paid out over a very long period. They're the kind of things that would come to my mind. But what are the main disadvantages or the cons or the things that business owners might be worried about that they could be reassured about, if that makes sense, in terms of potential negatives or worries?
Well, you're right. There are some pros and cons with any alternative. I'd say most business owners who are coming to us to do an EOT, they've also looked at the strategic alternative to sell to a trade buyer. So they've had an opportunity to see what a trade buyer is likely to pay. And our valuations team will help them do a professional valuation as part of the EOT sale. So you get to compare, the financial aspects in that stage. You're right, you may be paid out longer, over a longer period with an EOT sale, rather than if the buyer is just showing up with his own cash. As some of our clients have used bank finance to get some additional early payments, on an EOT sale happening. And there's a variety of banks who our clients have worked with in that regard. And the banks they've spoken to have obviously been happy to fund it. So that's always an alternative. You do get the loss of control, and you do have to, you know, hope that the business carries on making the profits over the future years to make the payments. But some people would regard that as an advantage. That they'd be happy to stay involved, but they're not quite ready to completely hang up their feet. And as long as the directors of the company want them involved, they can stay involved and carry on driving the business while maybe the next generation of management step up and get involved.
From the employee side of this, there's very obvious and some less obvious positives of being involved in an EOT, but what would be any concerns that employees would need to have, or hurdles to overcome, or even negatives, for want of a better phrase?
Well, some businesses and some employees might actually prefer to be part of a large corporate group with a traditional management structure, and in some industries and for some employees they may prefer that and think that's a more comfortable way of working. However, EOTs are becoming increasingly popular. With an EOT, you can still have management incentivized with things like being given shares and share options and things like that. So you can still have, you know, what resembles in some respects a traditional management structure, and top performers can be rewarded that way.
What expectations, I suppose, should business owners have in respect of receiving the full sale price? Because there's a big balance in that there, in that if they sit tight and wait, I'm guessing they've got to wait for profits, for the company profits to be diverted to them for the sale price. So they might fear that they're waiting forever. You touched on bank finance there. What are the options for them to either accelerate or decelerate receiving the sale price once they've decided to commit to an EOT?
Well, most of the EOTs we worked on, I think the owners are expecting to receive full payment over something around between 4 to 7 years. And as long as the business carries on making profits, they'll be able to do that. If the business hit some tough times and wasn't able to make those profits, they'd probably waive the right to receive those payments for a while. Because, you know, to start enforcing the debt more formally would probably cause significant complications. But certainly, if you could get a bit of bank finance and there's enough cash in the business to give you a decent payment on day one, you may be comfortable with getting paid out over a longer period in that way.
Yeah, I believe there are some lenders like you, Shawbrooks, out there that can do things like that. And I guess, as you say, if for some reason, it might not even be the business, but obviously just the circumstances of trading with so much going on in the world at the moment and so much going on in the UK, if circumstances bit, you wouldn't want to cut your nose off to spite your face, would you, in terms of taking enforcement action when, you know, you've got some choppy seas to navigate through and then receive your sale price later? You'd imagine most business owners should be fairly sensible in that regard. In terms of discussions, I guess, before an EOT, what kind of discussions do business owners have with employees prior to formally decide to pursue an EOT and or instruct someone like yourself, Andrew, to go ahead with an EOT?
Well, we always encourage clients to have, you know, really, really, you know, thoughtful engagement with staff, because we regard that as one of the main advantages of an EOT. There's lots of research that show that employee-owned companies are really successful. You get really well-motivated and engaged staff. But a key part of that is to involve them so that they genuinely are involved. One of the things we often do is participate in meetings with the management and staff to brief them and explain it to them, give them opportunities to ask questions, give them opportunities to go away and think about it, and then ask questions again, because lots of people wouldn't necessarily think of the questions that they want to ask on day one. And there's also opportunities for staff to get engaged with the process. One of the things we always recommend is that as part of an EOT, the company forms something like an employee council or an employee forum, so that the trustees of the EOT have a forum in which to engage with staff, take their views, consult them on key points, And you can find staff getting really, really enthused in that process, maybe having the ability to vote team members onto the employee forum or council and get involved that way. Some clients give the employee forum or council actual proper rights to appoint directors to the board or trustees. Some don't. They keep it consultative. But it's a real opportunity to get engaged with staff.
And when a client comes to you for advice initially prior to committing to an EOT, what are the most common concerns that they raise with you? I'm sure we've probably touched on a few, but what would be the most typical things that you know? Right, I'm going to this meeting with such and such a company about EOTs. I can pretty much predict that they're going to have a couple of concerns here, and I already know to a degree what I'm going to say. What would those kind of things be?
Well, one of them, like you mentioned, Sean, is actually loss of control. And we're very clear with the owners of the business that when you do an EOT, you do have to keep up. You do have to give up a certain amount of control. You can stay involved in the business, but effectively decisions, like I said, need to be made for the benefit of the trust and the beneficiaries. One of the things that they often look at and we get involved in is makeup and changes of the board of directors of the company and the trustee board to ensure there's like a proper and more mixed representation on those boards. And that's something that people give a lot of thought to, and rightly so, because you want the right mix of people with the right experience and roles involved in those boards. There's also one other thing we talk to people about, that there's actually an additional potential risk with EOTs that isn't present necessarily on some other possible sale routes. And that's that for tax reasons, we don't recommend having security over the shares that have been sold or a guarantee clause so that the main company guarantees to the owners that it will pay money for the sale. We understand that some advisors do think do suggest a guarantee clause, but it's not something that we suggest for tax reasons. So there are additional risks with an EOT sale that might not be there on a traditional management buyout structure, for example.
And I'm interested in what happens when a company decide that they want to go ahead with an EOT. They've considered everything, sought advice from you, your accountants, everyone, and go, right, great, Andrew, we'd like to go ahead with this. In terms of you being instructed, can you outline the key steps required in order to go from start to finish and complete successfully on the EOT?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'd start with an initial meeting with the client to confirm instructions and any key issues and what they want to achieve. And because of our multidisciplinary approach, we have all the relevant kind of advisors there. We provide lawyers and accountants and tax advisors so that we can help them with the with getting to those answers in an efficient manner. Once we've had that initial meeting, our tax team will prepare their tax advisory report. They'll apply to HMRC for various tax clearances and also do a formal valuation. While that's going on, our legal team will set up a new company to act as trustee of the EOT, and we'll start drafting the main legal documents and then have a meeting with the clients to review and discuss the key terms of those. When that's happened, that's often a stage when people feel ready to start getting involved with employee engagement. It only makes sense to do it once you're almost certain it's definitely going to happen, because otherwise you don't want to waste staff time with it before you know it's going to happen. And then when all the documents have been approved, we get them signed, and then there's various filings to make with HMRC, and there is actually some tax to pay, because there's stamp duty to be paid at 0.5% on the value of the consideration.
And following on from that, who are the trustees of an EOT, and who and how are they selected? Like, who selects them? How are they selected?
In most cases, we recommend having a corporate trustee. So we'd set up a new company to act as trustee of the trust, and there'd be a board of directors on that trust company. And we always recommend that board of directors consists of a different makeup compared to the main company board. We usually advise that there would be at least one employee director on the board, someone who wasn't previously a shareholder, one independent director from externally, And if you were having a three-person board, you might have one of the selling founders on the board, but you'd have that sort of a balance of an employee and independent, and maybe one of the founders.
And obviously, without going into the specifics, this is for information only and a sort of a general overview, but what are the kind of key tax areas that would need to be considerations for businesses and business owners?
Well, I think two of the main points that you want to be sure of is that the owners are going to get the sale free of capital gains tax, because that's one of the key things for our tax team to check, and that the income tax-free bonus payments, the 3,600 to staff, are going to be paid in a way that will guarantee that they are tax-free, because there are requirements for that as well. If they're not complied with, the tax could be chargeable. Also, really importantly, it's important to do that valuation I mentioned, so that you can justify to HMRC that a price that an excessive price isn't being paid for the shares, in order to make sure you get that CGT benefit.
Yeah, it's a great shout. I suppose when people are thinking about the valuation, they're quite often thinking about that being relevant to the sale price ultimately, and not necessarily that aspect of that. So that's a really good and important point. I was reading that there's potentially some key tax considerations that might change in the future. I was reading in April that entrepreneurs who give away their companies to their employees might be faced with a tax crackdown in the future. I read that HM Treasury has launched a consultation on EOTs after it merged, that some people might have been using them for unintended tax planning, or certainly that's what may or may not have happened. And under an EOT, those distributing the shares are exempt from capital gain tax, whilst the company can pay its employees the bonuses without incurring income tax you've referenced. But the Treasury's consultation, which I think is out later this year, I don't think it's come out yet. We're recording on 14 September 2023 for transparency, and could see the tax benefits either restricted or potentially removed entirely. And the Treasury said the consultation would aim to, and I quote here, ensure that the reliefs are targeted closely at incentivising EOTs as an employee ownership business model, whilst preventing the reliefs from being used for unintended tax planning. Do you think this will come out this year? How likely do you think it is there'll be changes to this?
Yes, you're right, Sean. There's a consultation running at the moment, which expires actually on the 25th of September. So so it is really current in about 11 days' time. And there's various proposals that HMRC are looking at, as you say, to look at possible abuse of the rules and to ensure that EOTs work as they intended. As far as we're aware, there's no plans to change the CGT or income tax benefits, but some of the key proposals are these. They want to ensure that more than half of the trustees are neither former owners nor people connected with them. We're not entirely sure how that would apply to a corporate trustee or whether it would directly translate to the directors, but that's one point. The EOT must be tax resident in the UK. That's intended to remove the possibility that the EOT might sell in the future without any CGT arising on a future sale. And regarding the tax-free bonuses, there might be an increase in the flexibility of those, so that the bonuses don't necessarily have to be paid to directors who are employed, because at the moment that is one of the requirements. So that would actually help the bonuses being distributed to staff. There's also a possibility of a confirmation in the legislation that contributions to an EOT to be paid deferred consideration won't be treated as taxable distributions, because at the moment that's something that our tax team always obtain specific clearance on. So that would hopefully be a helpful simplification. So we don't expect there to be an end to EOTs, but like you said, just possibly HMRC closing some loopholes where they think people haven't been structuring them in the right way.
And once you've been instructed on an EOT, I know it's how long is a piece of string is probably the real answer, but how long, what kind of time frames are common, I guess, for you starting your work on an EOT and it reaching completion?
Normally, from start to finish, about 2 to 3 months. We did do one in about 6 weeks that was a bit complicated, and we had some late night pizza deliveries to help get that one over the line. But we did. So normally we say to people about 2 to 3 months.
And how can you work with the business owners to try and either completely prevent issues occurring in the future, or worst case, mitigate against issues coming up in the future?
I think it's important to have regular engagement with staff so that their expectations are met. Any employee-owned business is only going to be a success if the staff feel engaged and motivated. It's also important to consult with specialist advisors to make sure that the ongoing corporate governance is appropriate. And people have to remember, once an EOT sale has happened, it's not the founder's company anymore, and it needs to be run differently. So I'd say those are some of the main points to consider.
And do you think we're going to see an increase in EOTs over the coming months and years?
Well, they're certainly popular amongst our clients at the moment, and we've been busy and getting increasingly busy on them for the past few years. Also, feedback we receive from networking events we go to through organisations such as the Employee Ownership Association, that they are being increasingly popular. So that does seem to continue.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Andrew. That's it for this episode, everyone. Andrew, thank you so much for being such a fantastic guest. Thank you for listening and watching, everyone. You can find out more information about how to contact Andrew and More Kingston Smith LLP in the links to the show. Please share and spread the word about the MRC show. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, I'll be cheeky as ever and ask you to hit us with a 5-star review. And remember to check out the products and services at mylegalclub.co.uk. But more importantly, please stay well and please take care.